Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today we have Pastor Jo Barnes-White. She's a representative from Shoalhaven Central Uniting Church, which offers a free community lunch every Monday from 12 to 2pm at 29 Berry Street, Nara. This weekly event is open to everyone and provides both a meal and companionship. Shoalhaven Central Uniting Church is an exciting new chapter in the rich history of the Uniting Church in the central Shoalhaven region, an amalgamation of Bay and Basin, Bomaderry and Nara Uniting Churches. The Uniting Church is the third largest Christian denomination in Australia. They are connected by a single story, worshipping every week in more than 40 languages. They are a fellowship of reconciliation, living God's love and acting for the common good to build a just and compassionate community. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you.
How are you going today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Baron. Thank you for inviting me here today. It's really looking forward to this opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you. And, at the start of this, we were talking about, chatting a little bit about nara.org.au and asking how it's going.
Yes.
And I guess to fill you in a little bit, this podcast, we've been capturing all these great stories of people from Nara, from all different walks of life, from all different areas of our community. And the particular part of this podcast is to try and tell the good stories. And so when we were introduced to you, and I've seen your work because I drive down Berry Street every day and, see the groups that congregate there, but also the presence that church has in Nara, we have to have you on. Great to have you on. And you're just another example of those great stories. So
fantastic.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you again.
So our first question we always ask everyone: what's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
Okay. I think that there is often a misconception that because we are a regional town that we are isolated. But as we all know, we've got some great highway connections to Sydney and Canberra. So it means that we can travel up to those major centres within a couple of hours. Like many people who live down here, my husband and I like to go up to Sydney to see a show or some live music, and we can certainly do that in a day. It's definitely achievable. And I think often there is a misconception just how close we are to the airports, actually. I love that we can get to the domestic or international airport within a couple of hours. And we're very blessed with being on the Illawarra train line, which means we can hop on a train and virtually, get ourselves up there almost directly, which is a real bonus. And again, it's only a couple of hours down the line. And I think also that there can be this idea that living regionally, you sacrifice lifestyle. But I think that, I've lived down here for quite some time now, and my observation is that many people have can find a really good work-life balance down here. Like, we've got short commutes, we've got affordable housing, and we're really close to nature. We can leave our workplaces and within 10 minutes, we can find ourselves at the beautiful Shoalhaven River or at the bush, in the bushland, or some of our beaches. So they're just a couple of things that I think often gets wrong.
Yeah. I was actually in Sydney this morning and I came back, and over the weekend I could feel the intensity of Sydney, of like everyone's rushing and there's the people getting stuck in traffic and people getting angry, and I definitely, me and my wife, felt that breath of fresh air driving back here. And the highway's great, we drove Heathcote to Bomaderry, there's no traffic lights, it's just a straight shot through.
That's
and
right.
We're already back here recording this podcast at lunchtime.
Yes.
I think that's a really good point. A bit underrated that we are actually closer to home.
Yes.
So tell me, what is your earliest memory of this town, or how did you end up in Nara?
Oh, okay. So my earliest memory, I suppose, would be, I grew up in the Sutherland Shire in Sydney, and so with a lot of people who lived in that area in my childhood, a lot of families used to travel to the South Coast for holidays. So it was quite common, actually. So, yeah, people used to holiday down here, and that was the case for me. And so, Mum and Dad used to make at least an annual trip down this way, so I was quite familiar from a young age. My first memory, I suppose, as a child, I remember they would often stop at the information centre on the highway, which is now part of Nowra Anglican College's admin buildings. So that very odd shaped building, what used to be the tourist centre, and I think there was a Navy helicopter mounted up, and so that was always a delight as a child, and a little play area. And I think they had some sort of eatery. So that's probably my earliest memory of Nowra. But yeah, I eventually moved down. My partner at the time, his parents bought a holiday house down here, and so we used to come down and use that holiday house, and we just absolutely loved it. So we used to, you know, book in as much as we could to use this holiday house. And we started coming down so frequently that we thought, well, we might actually buy our own holiday house. And back then, you know, houses were much more affordable. I won't tell you the price of the house that we bought because it would make you cry when you compare the cost of housing now. Mm. But, yeah, so we bought our own holiday house, and we were just coming down here more and more, and pretty much every weekend, and we'd get to Sunday night and we think, oh, there's, you know, work ahead of us, we better start travelling back, and we were leaving it later and later to travel back to Nowra. And we did this for a bit, and then at one point we just looked at each other and said, listen, we love it down here, why don't we move? Why don't we try to get some transfers? And we're in our mid-20s, so it was, not a lot of people at that point were moving down to the Shoalhaven at that age. And but anyway, we did. We applied for transfers, and we were very grateful. We got work down here, and we were down here by, as I said, our mid-20s. And it's a decision I've never regretted. I love the area. So.
And what were you transferring for work at that time?
Well, at that time I was in banking.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So I used to work for the State Bank of New South Wales, and I started out in the city. So I was working in head office in Martin Place. I worked in the city for 6 years. And then I was lucky enough to get a transfer down here. And then I stayed in banking for a little while. But it was a big change from the city, that's for sure.
Yeah, wow. So you go from the heart of it to in the middle of Sydney to Nowra. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. It was very different.
Yeah. And then I guess since you've moved here, what have you noticed has changed over the years, and what maybe hasn't changed at all?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that sticks out in my mind in terms of changing is really the infrastructure in Nowra has changed significantly I've been down here for about 30 years. I think at that point, maybe a little bit beforehand, but the highway went straight through Nowra CBD. So the highway was Kinghorn Street. And so there were, you know, service stations. Even now you see service stations and motels dotted along the way, which is sort of remnants of when the highway went through Nowra. That's a definite change. And I think when the bypass came through, there were a lot of really good changes in Nowra CBD. When I first moved down, you know, as I said, I worked in the city, and I used to love getting outside of the office and going and sitting, you know, at a nice park to have my lunch. And so when I moved down here, I could see that there was a real lack of nice spaces to go and sit. Mm. But that has definitely changed. Mm. You know, Nowra precinct is a lot prettier. Mm. You know, there's some nice spots to go and sit and be. And I mean, we've got a long way to go. That's, you know, there's still more work to do, but it's that's been a significant change. I think some other changes which are really obvious is that the area has grown exponentially. So our population has become a lot larger. And I absolutely love how we're becoming much more multicultural. I love that people from other cultures are finding their home in Nowra. I think it's making our community richer from people from different cultures. So they're probably the things that I've noticed that have changed. In terms of things that haven't, the most obvious to me is our beautiful surrounds. You know, Nowra and the Shoalhaven, we live in such a beautiful area. I was telling the on Sunday when I was leading a worship service out at the Bay and Basin, you know, I the other day I came over, I was driving back from the Bay and Basin coming into Nowra, and I came over the rise there at the top of Kinghorn Street, and Camberwarra Mountain was just standing there in all her glory. And I just thought, wow, that's just so beautiful. And so, yeah, well, you know, our natural surroundings hasn't changed as far as I can see. And I think we're very blessed.
It's still beautiful. And I think people are working to protect it as well, you know, to keep those spaces clean and green. And exciting. So, Joe, you're involved with the Shoalhaven Central Uniting Church. I'd love to hear a little bit about the church and what it does here.
Yeah, sure. So Shoalhaven Central Uniting Church is a congregation that amalgamated three congregations back in July 2022. So the congregations came together, as I say, in 2022. There was, at the time, a strong sense that if we shared our resources, we could strengthen what was already happening in each of those worship spaces, and that we could strengthen our community engagement across the region. So prior to our amalgamation, each of those congregations had its own history and its own story. So it was, you know, it was a journey to bring all three together. And each of those worship centres are very unique in themselves. Some are older than others. Nowra Uniting Church, where the Wesley Centre, that is definitely the oldest. In actual fact, our beautiful old stone church is just about to celebrate, or shortly going to be celebrating 150 years.
Wow.
So that will be happening. We're in conversation now. Actually, you'll have to keep an ear out, because we'd love to, we're wanting to explore ways where we can, celebrate its anniversary for our congregation and the community. So we'll be doing some things around that. Our Bomaderry faith community, they were established in the 50s, around the 1951, I think. And the Bay and Basin congregation, they were the newest of the three, and our worship centre out there opened in 2000. So, we still hold worship services in each of those three centres, and each of the three centres have their particular ministries that are operating out of those centres, but we see ourselves very much as one congregation, and we do come together for a combined service quite regularly, and we like to do that to celebrate the unity that we have with one another, and that we're doing this journey together, and so as I say, it's been a little while to get there, but I feel like we've arrived, and it's a great congregation.
Yeah.
And I suppose I should also mention that I work alongside a wonderful ministry team. I serve as a pastor in this congregation, but I work alongside Reverend Grant Bilby, who is our minister, and he brings a lot of experience. Prior to this position, Grant was a presbytery minister for the Illawarra. And so he brings a lot of wisdom and expertise into the life of the church. And we're supported also by a great group of elders and church council members who give of their time and their care to support the life of the church. So we're a great team, and we really our vision is really to share, to build community and to share hope, and we do that together as a ministry team.
That's beautiful. And yeah, I mean, 150 years, that's quite a long period of time for anything in Nowra, and you can see that when you drive past the Berry and Junction Street and see how old that beautiful church is, and it stands quite proud at the kind of the top of the main street of Nowra.
Yeah.
So it's quite important part of Nowra CBD.
have you ever been in there?
I have, yes.
Have you?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. And I just think that, like, any of those spaces, any like spaces we choose to make sacred, you know, they have a feeling about them, right?
Yeah.
You know? And I think, like, a space is only as sacred as we make it.
Yes.
And I think that churches have a really good way of doing that, of like when you step in there, you feel something. You feel God's work, right?
Yeah, there's a peace.
So tell me about your role as a pastor in the church and what your kind of day-to-day is, or how you kind of show up for the church.
As I mentioned before, I work alongside Reverend Grant Bilby. We're in... as a team, we support the congregations and the ministries in all sorts of different ways. So for Grant and myself, we share leading worship. So we've got those three worship centres that we lead on a Sunday. We also support Greenwell Point Union Church. So we do a Holy Communion service out there once a month as well, which is great. They're a beautiful community at Greenwell Point. We do worship services. We obviously, within the congregation, we pastorally support our congregants. We also are involved in various ministries, so the community lunch, which I'll share about in a little bit. But we've also got a really great ministry out at the Bay and Basin with our food pantry. So we offer affordable food to residents out at the Bay and Basin who are doing it tough. That's a ministry we're really proud of. It's been running for about 4 years, and it's made such a difference to the community. Mm. And, and it's got a lot of community involvement. It's one of the things I really love about that food pantry is we have a lot of community volunteers. Plus, we've got a lot of community groups that come and donate items for us to have at the community pantry, at the food pantry, and to give out to those people in need. There's one lady out there who knows all the different groups that meet out there, small groups, and she goes and collects, you know, the donations. You know, they're just everyday people like you and I, and they just put a few extra things, groceries, in their shopping trolleys and for the food pantry, knowing that it's going to go into the community out there at Bay and Basin. It's quite inspiring. We do also provide, in that context, we send off food into Rec Bay, and we're in partnership with the AFP, who come and collect a good lot of boxes to take out to Rec Bay. So, and we love that. That we can support people in all the surrounds out there. So it's fantastic. Mm,
beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think, like, you often, if you're not of a Christian faith, or if you haven't been, you know, invited or gone to church before, that you might drive past all these different churches and wonder, like, what are the functions of them, and what are they doing? How are they supporting the community? And how does, like, the Shoalhaven Uniting Church maybe differ from other churches?
That's a really good question. I think that we have, in terms of other churches in the Shoalhaven, we have more in common than what we do differences. You know, for the Christian church here in Australia, most communities have, you know, their central goal is to worship and trust God and to grow in faith and to help others. They really are, it's really simple, three tenets of our faith, really. Trust and worship God, grow in your faith, and go and help others. And so I suppose all the churches would be doing that, but they are all unique, naturally. Mm. And for us, we've got some particular things that we that we do that might be different than the other churches. And one of the things that I suppose for the Uniting Church that I think is a bit of a standout is that we like to share our resources. And so we are very open to having community groups come in and use our spaces. We've got great facilities, and we love the fact that if there's a need in the community, a space that we can, you know, we can offer what we have. So it's not just about us coming together for worship on Sunday and using that space just for Sundays and maybe some other church-related activities during the week. But yeah, we like to offer it to community, and we've got lots of community groups using our spaces, things like choirs, we've got music schools, we've got craft groups, we've got NDIS cooking classes, we've got dance and theatre classes and art groups, and even programs like Uniting's Firefly, which help youth out at the Bain Basin. So, yeah, that's something that we're really proud of, and I think it is unique to the Uniting Church. And I suppose we, you know, it's not just about sharing the resources. It also gives us an opportunity to meet members of the community. You know, when people are coming in to use our facilities, you know, those relationships just, you know, grow organically. And so friendships start, and all of a sudden, you know, the church can be a source of support in people's lives, and I think that's quite significant.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, I think of the Wesley Centre in Nowra. I went there so often as a kid growing up for so many different things, and now connecting that it's, or knowing as an older adult, knowing that that's also part of the church, but, you know, there were so many things that we would go to for, like, book readings or art things or music things, and it's like that really to me is very community focused, because it's that space becomes available, and those things wouldn't be possible had they had to rent a commercial space or something like that.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
We make it very affordable too. We don't want any group to be in a situation where they can't come in and use the space.
So, yeah. And look, we're starting to touch on my next question a little bit, but I do want to talk about community, because, you know, what we're trying to do here at nowra.org.au is create a community and support community and promote all the good things that are happening in the community. But why is church important to the community?
Well, I think I did touch on that just a little bit in that previous question, is that, you know, churches can be like a community hub, and often they are. You know, they're a space where you know, community can come in, whatever their need is. So, you know, there's many churches that offer food pantries, for instance. We're not the only one doing that. There's plenty in Nowra in particular. I'm quite inspired to see how many churches are doing that. It's fantastic. There's others that are offering community lunches like us. There's craft groups operating. There's coffee and chat, spaces for people to come in and connect. And I think that's, you know, that supports community in significant ways. Also, too, the church is important to community during tough seasons. You know, we've seen it down here where we've been, our area's been affected by bushfires or floods or some other disaster. The church is very much, interested in the well-being of its community. And so often when those things happen, the church often rallies and really, thinks about how we can support the community at the time. And I think also just another similar point to that is that the church can be a connecting point during difficult times, like when there's been some sort of trauma locally, nationally, globally. So, for instance, after the recent Bondi massacre, There were many churches that held prayer vigils, just even spaces for people to come in and light a candle, you know, to sit quietly and to show solidarity to those people who are hurting and just even as a wider community. In that context, the church provides a space for people to feel supported and held and an opportunity for people to share some of their grief around things like that. So, and for Christians, this is, you know, for us, we're given the example of Christ, who lived a life of compassion and care. That's part of us living out our faith, is to be Christ for the community.
That's beautiful. Thank you for bringing that back together, bringing that back to the mission of the Christian mission, I guess, is to share that compassion. Let's talk about the compassion, and let's talk about the free community lunch every Monday. How did it start, and what is it like?
Yeah, sure. We started probably having a conversation about the potential of having a community lunch probably this time last year, actually. And there were three observations that we had made. The first being is that we noticed that we had a great space. You know, Wesley Centre, right in the middle of Nowra, where opposite the post office, opposite the Centrelink, near the bus stop, in Berry Street there. So, and the building itself, it's a great resource. So we were talking about what a great space we had. And then we were talking about, you know, what a great congregation we've got. You know, we've got many people with lots of gifts and talents and a real passion to care for others, to be present with people and to serve in a way that would be meaningful for our community. And so then we started talking about the potential of having a lunch. And so we started making investigations about what was already happening in Nowra. And we discovered that there are actually a lot of community lunches happening in Nowra. SALT runs a community lunch. All Saints Anglican do a lunch. St. Vincent's de Paul. And the Sikh community offer a free lunch on a Sunday afternoon. So we knew that there were other faith communities also providing. But one thing we did notice, that no one was offering a free lunch on a Monday. And what we did hear was that actually Monday, there was a desperate need for a community lunch on a Monday. Often by that stage, people have run out of resources. And so it was very much needed. And so we just put all those things together, you know, that we had a great space, we've got great people, and that there was a need. And so soon enough, we, you know, the conversations continued. We got, you know, everyone was happy with, you know, the plan moving forward. And so we started on the 1st of September. So we've just recently celebrated 6 months. And it's going really, really well. We're a little bit surprised. I don't know why we're surprised, but it's been really, really popular. We started out sort of with, about 15 people coming, and then it grew to 25 and then to 35. And so on average, we're getting around 40. But having said that, yesterday we had a pretty busy day. We had about 50 people for lunch on Monday. So but in terms of what it looks like, we run on a we've got fantastic volunteers, we run on a 3-monthly roster. So we put a call out for people to contribute where they want to. So you can either cook a main meal and put your name down on the roster for a main meal, or you can cook a desserty sort of thing, a slice or a cake, or you can come put your name down to come and serve or to set up and clean up. So we've got a bank of volunteers that serve in a way that they would like to. And the church also supplements that lunch. We buy fresh bread and fresh fruit for the day, and tea and coffee and other bits and pieces to supplement the meal. So yeah, once we've sort of got our food out, people start arriving about 11:30. They're often hungry, to be honest, when they come in. So it's very hard to wait till 12 o'clock because they're really eager for a feed. So once we've got a good amount of people in, our food's ready, we just do a general welcome. We'll say grace, and then people are invited to come up to the table and they'll be served a lunch. And we've got an array of tables set up in the Wesley Centre, and people will go and find a table. Sometimes they'll sit with people they know, other times they'll sit with complete strangers. Mm. And something really special that comes about when we share a meal with somebody, you know, those barriers break down and we get to know people at an intimate level, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think like food does bring people together.
They do, yeah.
And sitting down, breaking bread and finding out what we actually have in common, as opposed to what divides us, I'm sure is really beautiful. And I'm sure you've seen some beautiful conversations happening around those tables bringing people together.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're hearing many stories, and that's the joy of doing something like this, is hearing how it's impacting people, how it's helping people. And we have a good number of people who are sleeping rough that come in for a meal. And so, you know, they're coming in hungry, you know, and to have a nutritious meal served to them, they know we've made it just for this context. And so they're really receiving that. It's made with love.
Yeah.
And they know that.
Yeah.
And we're very intentional about remembering people's names.
Yeah.
You know, so we're getting to know a lot of people. And so that's fantastic. But we also have people coming in who have got accommodation. It might be, albeit very temporary, it might be a bit of couch surfing or living with family. And we've got other people who come in who are a part of the community, who might be a little bit isolated, who really value coming in and sharing a meal with others. So there's a real mixed bag in terms of who's attending. Listen, while we're talking about the community lunch, I just have to say that we have had fantastic support from the community. Nowra Community Food Store, Dan and Gemma Tribe, have been wonderful, as has Salt. They've been giving us some of their surplus food, and so we've been able to use that at some of our lunches. We've also received the support from Driving Miss Daisy. And Driving Miss Daisy, for those of you who don't know, it's a transport business that drives people who have got needs in different ways to appointments and whatnot. But the Driving Miss Daisy team have also offered free transport for those people who would like to come to the lunch but simply can't get there.
That's awesome.
Isn't that so gracious? And I mean, it's subject to availability, but we're really grateful to Brenda and her team for and they came and sought us out. They heard what we were doing and came in and said, wow, we'd love to support this. So that's really encouraging to have that sort of support. And we have support just from everyday people, you know, just giving us a little bit of money. You know, there's one lady that gives us $10 a week. You know, and it's just wonderful that people can see the value and they want to support in the way that they can.
That's beautiful. And that's community right there.
It is.
So I've got a last few questions, but before we finish up, I'd like to know, what are some of the challenges that the church faces in these modern times?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a big question. I think it's, too big a question to answer comprehensively in a podcast such as this. But most definitely, I think a significant challenge for the church is declining membership. You know, we've seen our membership, our congregation decrease in recent decades. And I think that's across the board. That's not obviously just our church. But I think this is not unique to the church, actually. I was listening to a podcast a little while ago, and the interviewer was had a conversation with ex-Prime Minister John Howard, and he made a really interesting point that we are no longer a nation of joiners. And I think that's true. And I think social commentators have also noticed these sorts of trends that, you know, years ago, you know, as a nation, we used to join Lions and Rotary. You'd put your kids in Scouts and Girl Guides. If you lived in regional areas, you'd be part of CWA and other community groups. And the church is no different. You know, the organisations were fairly full and the churches were fairly full. Mm-hmm. But over recent times, I think everyone has seen a decline in their membership. Yeah. And, of course, it's, you know, there's multiple factors in some of these, in the decline that we're seeing. I think the COVID pandemic didn't help. That certainly changed the way, the patterns in which we were meeting and joining groups. And also, obviously, the rise of social media, and that's been a big factor. People are more inclined to connect over WhatsApp or Messenger rather than meeting in person or being connected into a group. Yeah. So I think it's a concern for the church, but I think it's a concern for the wider community and us as a here in Nowra and obviously wider across Australia as well.
Yeah, yeah, and like I was part of the Nowra Blues Football Club, and they were a proud football team for 40 years, and they just folded last year, you know. And so it's like that's another example of that, just they weren't getting the numbers through and the joining the volunteers.
Yes,
and
that's right.
It just seems to be changing in that way. So, it's something to people to consider. And it's like in the end, like if we want these things to exist, we have to show up.
We do.
Right? People have to show up and people have to support. And that's, you know, with nowra.org.au, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to inspire people to show up, get involved, be in the community, show the importance of community, whatever it may be. Whether it's you're the woman who gives $10 a week for the lunch, or if you're there cooking for 8 hours prior and prepping things, you know, whatever your personal contribution is, if we want these things to exist, we have to show up.
Yeah, we do.
All right. You're doing amazing. Last few questions, rapid fire questions. Has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting positive impression for you?
It's a good question. There's many. I suppose I think Nowra has often shows her truest colours when we go through difficult moments. You know, I know that we've had some significant bushfires in recent years, and I have seen firsthand how Nowra responds. You know, we respond with practical care and financial support. There's a sense that if our community has been impacted by a significant event like a bushfire or flood, we don't step back, we step forward. And so that they're things that I think, stand in the forefront of my mind when I think about significant events.
Yeah, yeah. And the bushfires have come up so much in these conversations, and it has been a big catalyst for community and a big catalyst for change. I agree with that. What do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years?
I hope that we are growing as a community in healthy and sustainable ways. I hope that Nowra can continue to really support local business and to support community, however that may look. Because it's a great lifestyle down here. It's a great place to live. So I hope that we are looking for ways, being really proactive. All of us are being proactive about how we can contribute to that and being part of the conversations. And as you said, to show up. You know, I think that's, I hope we're still doing that and that we don't lose our character. You know, we don't have to become a big city. We can just celebrate who we are and look at our strengths and celebrate those and those areas where we could have some improvement to work on that together. And I hope that we are also just bearing in mind that we are an ageing population, we're a growing population in Nowra. I hope that, you know, our that we've got good health facilities for, you know, for our ageing population, that we've got enough, you know, doctors and nurses and mental health facilities, all those things that contribute to the well-being of our community. I hope we do that really well. And, yeah, that we'll just continue to look out for one another. I hope we're doing that in 10 years' time, and I trust we will be.
Beautiful. Who is one person you'd love to hear on this podcast?
Oh, listen, I didn't really research this very well, Baron. I'm so sorry. I know you asked me that before, but I think there's so many great people in Nowra, but I would love to hear from anyone who has received an Order of Australia. There's so many people who are doing great things in Nowra. Actually, I do know somebody who's received an Order of Australia. So if you can't find somebody, I didn't have time to check in with her, but I'd be happy to if you need
all right,
a hand.
Season 2 Order of Australia medal winners, we're coming for you. Last question, any asks of the people of Nowra?
Well, I think I have to say, given our conversation we've had today, is I would encourage members of neighbours in Nowra to go and join something. Find what you like, what your interests are, and go and join whatever it may be. If you're a person of faith and you aren't connected into a church, come and get connected. Come and get reconnected. We need you. And I know a really great church, by the way.
I know three.
Yeah, three.
Bay and Basin, Bomaderry, and Nowra.
Yeah, well, we're one congregation, remember. So, but yeah, any of the churches, they're all great faith communities. And but yeah, whatever it may be, whether it be Lions or Rotary, a sporting club, go and join because we really are better together.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Thanks so much, Joe. It's been such a pleasure to chat, and we'll finish up here. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We're recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au. Or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.